All right, let's get this show started. Welcome once again to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. How is everybody doing on this Tuesday? We have got a jam-packed show for you. Just a reminder that you are listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM, the Key out of Noonan. We are brought to you by Active Pest Control, Wishbone Fried Chicken, and The Mold Man. And on the show, the Fountain City now has two baseball teams in the Sun Belt League. I will get into that. And the United States knows who they're going to play in the WBC final tonight, as they will take on Japan. And if there is anybody that could match up with the United States, it's Japan. After getting a come-from-behind 6-5 victory over Mexico in the semifinal game, the stage is set for the WBC final tonight in Miami. The United States versus Japan. And this is a rematch of that semifinal game back in 2017 where the United States beat Japan 2-1. Japan won the first two World Baseball Classics in 2006 and in 2009. Those teams were incredible, led by Ichiro, Daisuke Matsuzaka, and now Japan has featured one of the best all-around baseball players that the game has to offer today, Shohei Ohtani. Now, he's not going to be pitching in this game, but we know he can hit. But I'm very excited about this game between Japan and the United States tonight. You can catch the game 7 o'clock on Fox. I am going to have Gabe Reynolds on the show later as we're going to break down the weekend of college basketball. And he's also going to be on the show next week. I know as we get into basketball season, I would like to get Gabe Reynolds on more often as he has been a great guest over the past year. A longtime broadcasting colleague that we went to the same college, Freed Hardeman University. This is episode 585 here on the first day of spring, March the 21st, 2023. And I am your host, Richard Holdridge. I've been doing this for more than 3 years. My first episode aired January 31st, 2020. All right, let's get into the show. Well, the Chocolaca Monsters, owned by Ignite Sports, well, they had a press conference yesterday at historic Golden Park. And in attendance, the general manager, Scott Brand, of the Columbus Chattahoots, the Chocolaca Monsters, and the Columbus River Dragons. The owner, Jeff Krupp, and it is official. Columbus is going to have two professional baseball teams that are going to play their baseball games at historic Golden Park this summer. The Chocolaca Monsters are relocating from Oxford, Alabama, and they are locating to historic Golden Park, and they will be called the Chattahoochee Monsters. Well, if you're a baseball fan, this is exciting. Columbus is a baseball town, and now you get to go to more baseball games at historic Golden Park. First thing that came up is that the voice of the Columbus Chattahoots, who's also going to be the voice of the Chocolaca Monsters, well, he's going to need some help calling these baseball games. I've already made it known. I've reached out to Scott Brand. I've reached out to Tom Callahan. And I've expressed interest in calling these games. Hey, Charity Lawson, the Columbus native who finished in fourth place on The Bachelor, she is going to be the Bachelorette. And they filmed here in Columbus. How about that? NBA action last night. The Charlotte Hornets defeated the Indiana Pacers 115-109. The big headline in the Charlotte area is that Michael Jordan is going to sell his ownership share. The majority stake owner is selling the team. What is Michael Jordan's legacy as an owner? It's debatable. The thing about Michael Jordan is he was untouched in the 1980s and 90s with this shield around him, this Nike brand. And you know that new Nike movie's coming out, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon starring in it. I'm actually going to go see it. I'm actually looking forward to seeing it. But you know that my favorite sports documentary is The Last Dance. It is absolutely fascinating. Michael Jordan is actually a polarizing figure. But if you look at the two basketball players, compare them side by side, LeBron James actually has more talent as far as all-around skills. I think that Michael Jordan had the more will to win. I mean, he's undefeated in the finals. But you take Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson away from Michael Jordan, what is he? What did he do on the Wizards? You got the Chicago Bulls beating the 76ers in double overtime, 109-105. The Timberwolves, they're trying to get into that play-in game. They beat the Knicks, 140-134. The Warriors get a rare road victory over the Houston Rockets, 121-108. The Grizzlies are still winning. They are on a win streak. The Memphis Grizzlies have won three straight, and they have hold a game ahead of Sacramento for that number two seed. And they are only 3.5 back of the first place Denver Nuggets. And the Kings lose to the Utah Jazz. So this is what the NBA standings looks like right now in the Western Conference. You got Denver with the number one seed, Memphis with the number two seed, Sacramento at number three, Phoenix number four, the Clippers number five, the Warriors six, Dallas, Minnesota, OKC, and Utah all would be in the play-in game if the season ended today. And the Lakers are half game behind Utah. That was a very important win for the Utah Jazz. Head coach Darvin Ham for the Los Angeles Lakers thinks that LeBron is going to be back in time for the regular season, as the Lakers, every single game is going to be a desperation game for the Lakers. Over in the Eastern Conference, I mean, who's beating Milwaukee when they have all their pieces and they are healthy? They are just as dangerous as that team that won the NBA title in 2021. They have a 2.5 game lead over the Boston Celtics, which the Celtics have only won 5 of their last 10. Philadelphia is surging. They are number 3 right now. You got Cleveland, New York, and Brooklyn holding on to those playoff seeds. And then the play-in game would be Miami versus Atlanta, and then Toronto taking on Chicago. Tonight, the Atlanta Hawks, who are 35-36, are hosting the Detroit Pistons, one of the worst teams in the NBA. And even though they gave Bogdan Bogdanovic an extension, I like what Onyeka Okongwu has done for the last three games, the Hawks are the most inconsistent team in the NBA. This is not a team that's supposed to be losing to San Antonio, even though it's on the road. The Atlanta Hawks have got to get this win. You know, we have a couple of more weeks left in the high school baseball season before we get into region tournament play and the playoffs. Let's start with the team that is ranked in the top 10 for 5A. That is the Northside Patriots. Despite their 7-6 record, they've played a lot of great teams. They have got a region game today against Northgate. The Columbus Blue Devils managed to get the 2-game sweep over region opponent, the Carver Tigers, over the weekend. They are 9-8 on the season, and they are hosting Harris County tomorrow. The Carver Tigers, 6-11 on the season. They are traveling up to Thomasville this weekend for a region game. I've had head coach Michael Long Jr. on the show. What he has done at Carver has been incredible. They have been very competitive. They got a young team, and they should be able to compete against Thomasville. You got the Russell County Warriors, led by head coach Tony Dimitri. They are hosting Elmore County for a 2-game series. Russell County is 7-6 on the season. The Shaw Raiders, they are in action, taking on the Hardaway Hawks tonight on the campus of Shaw High School. I am excited to announce that I'm going to be public address announcing for that game tonight. They had a very good weekend. They took 2 out of 3 against the Syrup Makers of Cairo, and they are currently 2-1 in the region. Got a big region matchup today on the campus of Jordan, as the Spencer Green Wave, 1-5 on the season, taking on the Jordan Red Jackets, who are 4-7. That game will actually be tomorrow. The Kendrick Cherokees trying to get some wins in region play. They are hosting Northeast today. Kendrick is 1-9 on the season. The LaGrange Grangers, who made it all the way to the state championship last year, head coached by Donnie Branch. Head coached by Coach Donnie Branch, 8-7 on the season, taking on Whitewater, who is 7-7. The Callaway Cavaliers, 11-5 on the season. They are hosting Landmark Christian today, who are 5-8. The Columbus Chattahoots head coach Steve Smith and the four-time state champion head coach, he's got the Calvary Christian Knights playing at a high level, 11-2 on the season after getting a big 2-1 pitcher's duel against the Glenwood Gators. Glenwood, that's their only third loss of the season after sweeping Lee Scott Academy the series before. Calvary Christian looking pretty good. Glenwood is looking pretty good with a 17-3 record. And last week, I guess you could call it the battle for the Brucelli Jug, baseball edition, the Brookstone Cougars were able to take 2 out of 3 against the Pacelli Vikings. They won 7-4. Brookstone is 4-9 on the season. The St. Ampicelli Vikings are 5-5 on the season. And the defending 7A state champions, the Central Red Devils, led by head coach A.J. Kehoe, they are 5-3 on the season. They lost to Thompson 12-2 over the weekend. Thompson is just having a historic season, 20-0. Yes, I'm reading that right. That's actually straight out of Mex Preps. And Smith Station this Wednesday, they are taking on Harris County. Harris County is 11-4 on the season. Smith Station is 4-1. I am excited that high school baseball is here. And now that the basketball season is over, we focus on high school baseball as we get ready for the playoffs. Tomorrow, I'm going to have GPB sports anchor John Freeman Nelson. He is going to be on the show. We are going to recap the high school basketball season and talk about what it means to be announcing sports at the high school level on the Georgia Public Broadcasting Network, because I'm always a fan of watching GPB Sports, Matt Stewart, Sam Crenshaw, Hannah Goodwin, and John Freeman Nelson. They all do a great job, and I enjoy every minute of it, as I really love calling high school sports, and it's really all about the kids, and looking forward to seeing them play at the next level. You know, a lot of these players that grew up playing Little League Baseball, like at Northern Little League and soon Harris County that won District 8, they're going to play at the next level and play high school baseball. And those faces that we remembered when we saw them in the Little League World Series, they go off and they play high school ball. And that's usually how it goes. All right, I think it's about time to bring on Gabe Reynolds. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Gabe.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
Want to give back to your community in a meaningful way? Cares for Kids is a Keller Williams Realty founded charity in which 100% of money raised goes directly to children in need in our area. Cares for Kids helps fund local organizations like Angels House, Cowita Casa, Elevate, and more. Help Cares for Kids reach their mission of serving 1 million children. Call 678-634-9770 today to learn more on how to be involved, or text K4K Noonan to 44321 to donate.
This week's property of the week is located at 688 Cheatham Road in Griffin, Georgia. This 32.14-acre tract is waiting to find its new owner. This property features a 3-bed, 2-bath home built in 1890. An 18x28 utility shed ran with its own power and water, fencing for horses and other livestock, and timber such as pine, oak, and pecan trees. Call 678-634-9770 for more information.
All right, we are back on the show, and I have got Gabe Reynolds on. lifelong college basketball fan. Gabe, you know, you actually reached out to me. You wanted to come on the show, talk a little bit about March Madness. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man, good to be here. Glad to be back. And, man, I can't wait to talk about March Madness because there are no perfect brackets left across the country because we had upset city, and that's what this time of year is about. March Madness. Love it.
Well, and some teams are really they're pulling the fire alarm like that in the background there. One thing I've noticed about this, no blue bloods. I mean, for the first time in 20 years, we've had, well, I believe it this happened once in 2021, but Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke are not going to the Final Four. They have actually
not even Sweet 16.
Yeah, they're not even going to the Sweet 16. It's chaos. My bracket looks like trash. I mean, Gabe, who would have thought that a 16 seed and a 15 seed would have both won on that opening weekend?
I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think of course, nobody ever expects a 16 seed to be the one. But for that coach at FDU in his first year at Division I, and he's been coaching a long time, he had the smallest team in the tournament. Going into the tournament, playing against the tallest team in the tournament in Purdue, and for them to just go in there and not and just pull the legitimate David versus Goliath, oh my God, like everybody was tuned in and they almost beat FAU last night. Like that was crazy. Princeton going in there and upsetting the 15 over the 2, like You this is what you love about the tournament because it gives the little guys a chance to compete on the big stage. You know, that's what you love about it because they don't get scheduled during the regular season. Teams like Kentucky won't play these teams. Kansas State won't play these teams. But when you get in the tournament, you just throw everything out and just go play. It's amazing to see how these teams really stack up and can you really match up. You can't just say, hey, I'm at Kansas, I got the best of the best because I'm playing a FAU or FDU or a Princeton. You know, you never can tell. Ask Memphis. Memphis got beat at the buzzer by an FAU team that won 30 games. And then FAU and FDU had probably one of the more entertaining games of the tournament last night. And FAU finally pulled away at the end. So it's just this time of year is what makes it, it gives the little guy a chance, and it just makes it more appealing. And another thing to throw in there, the transfer portal has helped a lot of this. When that coach, his FDU team, they all played for him last year at the Division II level, and they were playing for a Division II national championship. The only difference between last year and this year is they played in a smaller arena, whereas this year they're playing in a bigger arena. That's the only difference.
Gabe, I'm going to mention FDU's head basketball coach, Tobin Anderson, and compare him to Babe Ruth. Do you think that would be a good comparison?
When you say
yes, because he called his shot.
He did. He did. Hey. But as a coach, that's what you got to be. And I would say, yes, that's a great comparison to Babe Ruth. But as a coach, you can't be like, hey, guys, we about to go play Purdue. I don't know. Hey, we just happy to be here. I don't think. No, you got to have confidence because your players feed off of your confidence. And, I mean, when you look at the scout, he was like, hey, I think we could beat them. They ain't play nobody like us. They ain't play nobody that play as fast as us. They ain't play nobody that has a five that could go out and shoot the three. Like, they gave them problems matchup-wise. And he called his shot, and he bagged it up. So, yes, great comparison to Babe Ruth. I hope he stays another year, but I guarantee you, this was his first year at FDU. His stock just went through the roof. And there's still a lot of Power Five and mid-major openings out there still looking for head coaches. Somebody's going to give him a call. And if I'm FDU, I'm backing that truck up and just giving him whatever money we can to try to keep him. You definitely don't want to lose him.
Gabe, is John Calipari on the hot seat at Kentucky?
It depends on how you consider, you know, a success at Kentucky. Kentucky hasn't won a national championship since 2012. But every year, they always get a top five recruiting class. I think the fans are tired of just getting all the best players and not making a deep run. And I think Calipari has to understand that you can go out and get the top freshmen in the country year in and year out on the one and done. Ask Penny Hardaway. Having the number one recruiting class doesn't get you a national championship. Because even that year that they won it, that he won his only national championship in his coaching career, he had Anthony Davis, but he also had some seasoned players behind him that had already had that a year of playing experience at D1. I think his seat is starting to get hot because last year they lost in the first round. This year they lost in the second round. They had a couple of years back, or maybe it was the COVID year, they didn't make the tournament. So I think the fans are starting to get frustrated because they're seeing Duke win. They're seeing Carolina win. They're seeing Kansas win. But their fan base is not seeing that Kansas brings in one or two freshmen to go along with the players that they got returning. They're seeing Tennessee win the SEC championship with players that have been around 3 and 4 years. I think Calipari his welcoming is wearing out, and you're the highest paid coach in Division I, and you don't have the track record of success to back up being or justify you being the highest paid coach in Division I. You just lost to a coach who is like 58th in the nation with salary. And this was his first year in pain with Kansas State. There's no way Calipari should not year in and year out at least be in the Elite Eight.
Gabe, I've got to say, you know, last year's Final Four was nothing but Final Four of Blue Bloods. Kansas, they lose in the second round to Arkansas. Villanova didn't even make the tournament. I mean, how much is the Villanova Wildcat fans really missing Jay Wright? I mean, I think that Jay Wright made all the difference in the world, and Villanova was sitting at home in the tournament. North Carolina didn't even make the tournament. First time ever that a preseason number one does not make the tournament, and Duke loses to Tennessee in the second round. I mean, this is just unheard of that not only the traditional Blue Bloods not making the Sweet 16, but the Blue Bloods that we are familiar with, like a Villanova that had all that success with Jay Wright, not making the tournament.
Well, and I agree. Jay Wright did make a huge difference. But also, you know, you got new coaches. You got Hubert Davis at Carolina. You got John Shire at Duke. I can't think of the coach's name at Nova that replaced Jay Wright. It's going to take some time for them to get in there, get out of that shadow of Jay Wright, out of that shadow of Mike Krzyzewski, get out of that shadow of Roy Williams. Even the coach, the interim coach that filled in for Bill Self at Kansas, you know, I saw on social media yesterday, they were like, if, you know, Bill Self had been there, that would have made a world of difference in an Arkansas game. And that's true to a certain extent. But, you know, the game is evolving. The transfer portal is completely changing the game now. And for, you know, you're looking at everybody looks at the name. Well, the name is still going to be there, but the style of play, the brand of play, the coaching acumen, it's all going to be different. We got to give Hubert Davis went to the championship game last year. Everybody was like, preseason number one, he's bringing back a lot of people, he's adding in this. But a lot of people, when they did that, didn't factor in that they were going to lose a number of people. They were going to have people injured during the season. Villanova had some injuries as well, and UConn just came out of nowhere in the Big East. So it's not a changing of the guard. It's just a down year. I know the traditional blue bloods of Kansas, Carolina, Duke, Nova, but you still have some heavy-hitting blue bloods in there that are going to the Sweet 16 in Michigan State, UConn. You still got some UCLA. You got some still traditional blue bloods in there. It's just not as packed. You got Texas. I would consider Texas a blue blood. They're still there. And then you got some new people in there. Princeton making the Sweet 16 for the first time in school history. First, you know, that's a lot right there. So I don't think it's a bad for the game. I think it's good. But I also think that those teams that we mentioned, they're going to reload and they'll be back. And they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder next year.
I'm looking at the remaining teams. Let's preview this Sweet 16 because I still believe that the two number one seeds, Alabama and Houston, can definitely make it to the Final Four. But you also have Michigan State, which I think that Michigan State can make it to the Final Four. You know, Tom Izzo, the job that he has done, Michigan State doesn't really have a great regular season. As a number seven seed, they get the job done, and they're now in the Sweet 16. Don't be surprised if Michigan State makes it to the Final Four.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think Michigan State and Tennessee are going to battle hard. If they meet in the Elite Eight with an opportunity to go to the Final Four, I like UCLA. That UCLA Gonzaga game is going to be another must watch game because it's going to be a rematch of a couple of years ago of the game in the Final Four that was won by UCLA, but Gonzaga made it interesting because it went to overtime. I still like UConn as potentially to get there. I'm not too sold on Houston. Everybody is riding the Houston train, but with Marcus Sasser still being hurt with that groin injury, I think they're the next vulnerable one seed to potentially go down, and they got a tough draw in their region. They had to play Auburn in Birmingham, and now with their Sweet 16 and potentially Elite Eight opponents, I'm just not sold. Bama has a great chance of getting there, a really great chance, as long as they can continue to play well and they can knock down the three. But I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't have any number one seeds in the Final Four. I like UConn. Right now, UConn is one of my locks, but everybody else I think is still up for grabs.
Looking at the lineup on Thursday, I mean, we've got some great matchups. Michigan State taking on Kansas State. I think Michigan State wins this game. I think that UConn defeats Arkansas. Tennessee, Gabe, would you be shocked if Florida Atlantic upset Tennessee here in this Sweet 16 game?
No, because to be honest, Tennessee is playing on ball time. Remember, with Ziegler being out injured, that's their point guard. That's their catalyst. They're just gelling together. And Rick Barnes is doing a great job of keeping that team playing. Their defense is locked in together. But I think the way FA – you don't win 30 games without being battle-tested, okay? That's one thing about FAU. They won 30 games. They got a 7-1 center. They got shooters on the outside. They can attack the rim. I think they give Tennessee matchup problems, but they also match up well with Tennessee. If Tennessee can slow that game down and make it a half court game, Tennessee can defeat FAU. But I would not be surprised if FAU makes a run to the Elite Eight.
Gabe, who's going to have more of an impact for his team going forward in this tournament? Drew Timmy for Gonzaga or Brandon Miller for Alabama?
Man, it seems like Timmy has been there, has been at Gonzaga for like ever. Like the old, he the old man in the Y. I think Timmy is gonna, Drew Timmy is gonna have a bigger impact for his, for Gonzaga if they make a deep run. But that's not to discount Brandon Miller. I mean, he is the leading scorer in the country right now. The leading scorer, almost 20 points a game, going currently in the NCAA tournament. Even he was held scoreless in the first game, and they still won that game handedly. But I just think that Timmy is more of a, has more of an impact to Gonzaga because Alabama has more pieces around Brandon. To answer your question, I think Timmy is going to be, is going to be that player.
You know, last year we had an incredible story. St. Peter's, a 15 seed, making it all the way to the Elite Eight. I know that Princeton has got a tough matchup taking on Creighton, which Creighton always has success when they make it into the NCAA tournament. But can you see Princeton making it to the Elite Eight? Another school from New Jersey that's a 15 seed, making a deep run in the tournament. I mean, this is starting to become a trend every year now.
Yeah. You know, nobody expected Princeton to pull the upset that they had against Arizona. Nobody expected Princeton to win on Saturday to get to the Sweet 16. But here's the thing, though. I think I personally, this is where it starts to funnel out. Princeton's playing, they're playing Xavier, right?
Oh, they're playing Creighton.
Creighton. Creighton now has a whole week to prepare for Princeton and their Princeton offense. Whereas when you, in the first weekend, you really only get 24 hours to prepare for whoever your opponent is. I think that Creighton is going to come in and they're going to have, they're going to be well, they're going to scout them really well and they're going to be ready for it. But if Princeton is to pull this upset, they're going to have, they can't change what they do. They got to play their style of ball, but their defense is going to have to lock in. And the reason why I say that, it's a great story. We love it. Everyone loves the underdog story. But when you get to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, if they're going to continue that Cinderella run, they have to, they, everything has to fall in place. The offense, the defense, the bench, the subs, the scouting report, everybody has to stick to everything. And you got to hope for an off night from the opponent that you're playing. Can Princeton do it? Yes, they can. Do I think they're going to do it? I think the clock strikes midnight and the glass slipper doesn't fit anymore. And I think Creighton moves on and ends the dream season for Princeton.
Gabe, one thing about this tournament is that it is wide open since the majority of the Blue Bloods are not in it. But I could see a team like Michigan State or UConn just win it all just because of their program. I mean, they are practically Blue Bloods. Michigan State has not won the NCAA tournament since 2000. They've had some championship appearances. Tom Izzo pretty much knows what he's doing. I think that Michigan State can actually make a deep run, kind of like what Syracuse did a couple of years ago. They were a number 11 seed, and they made it to the Final Four. UConn, I mean, what can you say about UConn? I mean, they already got four titles. I mean, they are practically a Blue Blood. They had a hot start in the regular season, but they simmered down and they became a number four seed. I think, what do you think, Gabe? I mean, as much as we think that Alabama and Houston, still the remaining number one seeds, have the easiest path to the Final Four, I think that when it comes to tournament time, you got to take the teams with the coaching and with the program tradition.
Yes. I'm told you, I like UConn. The experts like UConn. Watching UConn play, they're strong, they're physical, they got good guard play, they got good post play, they got a deep bench. Coach Hurley plays, he goes 10 deep, which is unheard of at the college level. He rotates them in and they still bring production. I think UConn has a great chance, and their path is not filled with as many landmines as Alabama's and Houston's. But I think they got a good chance to get to the Final Four and get to the national championship game. Remember, at one point in the season, they were ranked number one in the nation. They played in the tough Big East. But like you said, they hit a streak where they lost three in a row. They fell behind. But they're still playing the best at the right time. And that's where you want to be at. Michigan State, you know, they're clicking at the right time right now. Izzo knows he knows his time. He's missed the March for a reason. His teams are going to come play. They're going to play hard and they're going to play tough. I like both of them to get to the Final Four. But they know that they buy in on defense. They're not an offensive team. They're going to bang with you. They're going to play physical. That's the hallmark and the staple of both of those teams. They're going to punch you in the mouth. And if you can't get hit in the mouth and respond to how they play, you're going to have a long 40 minutes playing against them.
Gabe, what about a team like Miami? You said that Houston was vulnerable. Miami went to the Elite Eight last year. In fact, they were a half away from knocking off Kansas. It's just that Oche Agbaji just got hot. Kansas was able to get to the Final Four and eventually win the championship. But Miami almost had Kansas last year. I think that Miami is a sneaky good team. If they get by Houston, I think that Miami can make it to the Final Four.
Miami played in probably, arguably, the toughest conference this year, and they won the regular season, got upset in the tournament, and that's what led to them getting the seed that they got. But remember I told you I wasn't Houston had was filled with landmines, and I said they were the most vulnerable one seed. Miami on paper, they should beat Houston. Miami playing Houston, they match up the same way. They're basically the same team. It's going to come down to coaching. Larinaga and Coach Sampson. If Sasser can't go at 100%, but Sasser can go at 75-80, I like Houston over Miami. If Sasser can't go, I like Miami to pull the upset over Houston. And then once they clear that hurdle, I could see Miami getting to the Final Four.
Gabe, as always, thank you so much for being on the show. I love just talking March Madness with you. I hope that your bracket actually looks pretty good now that we are down to 16 teams. And hopefully we'll have a winner, and I'll have you back on in a couple of weeks.
I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to the games this week. My bracket looks like trash. It's only good for making a paper airplane now.
Exactly. Mine too. All right, Gabriel's everybody. He's also the head basketball coach of the women's basketball team, Ezell Harding Christian, and just a basketball fan, and I just love having him on the show. Every time I can get a chance to get him on the show, he's been a great guest. All right, everybody, that is the show. Thank you, everybody, for watching us on Facebook Live, and don't forget that you can download the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Got mold? Call the Mold Man. Specializing in crawl space and interior mold remediation, encapsulations, and basement waterproofing since 2019. The Mold Man team takes pride in keeping your family healthy and your home mold free. Visit our website, themoldmanllc.com, to schedule a quote or give us a call at 678-227-9763.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You are listening to the best of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. Here's some clips that you might have missed over the past year. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I am Richard Holdridge. I'm live here at the St. Luke's Ministry Center. It is the third annual Say Mark Foundation. It's the Basketball Awards Luncheon. I'm here with St. Ann Pacelli guard slash forward Cam Ellis. Cam, you also play quarterback for St. Ann Pacelli. You've been the heart and soul of the Pacelli Vikings, coming up short to Stratford Academy in the championship game. But what was the season like for you competing for a championship at Pacelli?
It was really just nice knowing that, like, I had a family around me. Everybody on the court was playing for each other the whole entire season. So as a team, you know, we still look at this season as a win because we came together as a family and as a brotherhood, and we played for one another and played for the name on the front of the jersey. So for us, it was still a win. You know, you hate coming up short in that type of game, but if anything, you know, it taught us a lot about ourselves, about each other, and, you know, what is to come for the Pacelli Vikings. So
I had the privilege of seeing that game against Brookstone where you came back from the injury. Cam, it didn't look like you were injured. You really just took over the game. And how was the injury like when you were playing in that Brookstone game?
I wasn't injured. I was sick. I was playing with mono and strep and the flu, so it was a little bit rough. You know, your heart just takes over and tells your body what it's going to do, and that's kind of what happened. You know, had a hospital visit after the game that got me back where I needed to be, but you know, at some point you got to fight for a bigger cause, and at that point, you know, I wasn't really worried about myself. I was worried about winning and worried about what the team needed me to do. So,
and what does it mean for playing for head coach Corey Black? I know that he's got a discipline in him. Like, he's very, you know, he's got expectations for his players, especially during practice.
Yeah, Coach Black's always going to hold you to a higher standard probably than you even hold yourself. He wants you to be the best version of yourself on and off the court, and he's definitely in the position to make sure that you become the person on and off the court that he knows that you can be. He's gonna show you some tough love every now and then, but at the end of the day, that's all it is love. He just wants you to be the best that he can be because he feels that's his purpose, is to help young people discover who they are on and off the court. So having coach in your corner is always a blessing.
You're a senior, right? Now, Cam, now that you are a senior, what are your plans after basketball and football?
So I plan on going to college for basketball. I actually went on a visit yesterday. So we're being patient. There's some other schools still talking and stuff that we're trying to wait and probably wait as long as we can before we have to make a decision, just to see what other opportunities open up. But I intend to play basketball in college.
Cam, best of luck to you, and just wish you all the success in the world.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that was Cam Ellis, the guard forward for the St. Ann Pacelli Vikings and quarterback for the Pacelli football team. All right, I'm Richard Holdridge here with the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I'm here with former NBA player and coach, a local Columbus legend, Sam Mitchell. He started this Say Mark third annual Basketball Awards Luncheon Foundation with Mark Upshaw. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Sam, you know me. I'm a huge basketball fan. I'm a huge fan of yours. Of course, I followed your entire NBA career, playing with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers, and also winning Coach of the Year with the Toronto Raptors. But you're inducted in the Chattahoochee Valley Sports Hall of Fame, played at Columbus High, went on to play at Mercer. I mean, everybody knows you around here in the Fountain City. And in my mind, with you and Mark Upshaw being the two best basketball players to ever come out of the Fountain City, but what does it mean to give back to the community?
Well, it's everything. I mean, this is our hometown. When we were kids, there were people in the community that reached out and helped us develop and showed us love and showed us that they cared. And I remember Mark saying, as we got older, if we ever became successful in the walk of life, we wanted to come home and try to do something to give back. And I remember 19 years ago when we sat down and dreamed up this Sam Mark Foundation and the basketball camp and then this luncheon. I remember, and I'll never forget what he said to me. We're never going to make a dime for doing this monetarily, but we're going to gain so much from this experience and from doing this that you can't put a monetary value on. And he's been right. I mean, just the blessings that come from it, to see the kids' faces, for them to know that there's people in the community that care about them, that's investing in them, it means a lot. So for us, it's probably the most important thing we've done, you know, outside of raising our own families.
Sam, I'm really looking forward to this afternoon. We're going to honor a lot of great basketball players and teams. We have a state champion, the Glenwood Gators, a lot of great teams, Hardaway going to the Final Four, Pacelli going to the championship game. It's going to be a fun afternoon.
Well, Columbus, man, the basketball is getting better. Football has always been there, but basketball is catching up, and it's nice to see that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, that was the former NBA player and coach Sam Mitchell, who founded this Saint Mark Awards Luncheon, third annual foundation with Mark Upshaw. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the show. I am Richard Holdridge for the Sports Beat here live at the St. Luke's Ministry Center, the third annual Saint Mark Foundation Basketball Awards Luncheon, where we are honoring a bunch of high schools around the Fountain City. We just got finished announcing the players of the year for the different schools here in Columbus and the Phoenix City area. I'm here with WTVM sports director Jonathan Hoppe. Jonathan, you've been a guest on my show a couple of times. I got you here for a couple of minutes just to get a quick soundbite, but it's just great having you on the show.
Hey, Richard, I'm here for as long as you need me, and we're all just excited today to honor these young men and women. Thrift just said it a moment ago on stage. This has been an unmatched season for success in our area. Unfortunately, not quite as many state championships as we thought we maybe could have had, but still some great representation, and that's why we're here, honor these young men and women.
We do have some state champions, including the Glenwood Gators. Even though we're not honoring the Valley Rams tonight, they're still part of the Chattahoochee Valley. They had an incredible 33-0 season. Head coach Marshawn Harper did a great job. And the Central Red Devils going all the way to the championship game but lost to Hoover. The Pacelli Vikings going all the way to the championship game. And then Hardaway going to the Final Four. I mean, incredible success. I was talking to Sam Mitchell earlier. I mean, Columbus is a basketball town. We got a lot of great basketball here in the Fountain City.
Well, when you've got Mark Upshaw and Sam Mitchell, that's a good place to start. There's a lot of history there. Actually, one of the guys presenting an award, he won't be here because he plays in the NBA, Grant Williams for the Boston Celtics. I actually went to high school with Grant in Charlotte, and he's somebody that pours into areas all across the country. So the fact that he can be representing the Boston Celtics in the NBA, I think is awesome. Last year, I didn't know that he was a presenter. It caught me by total surprise, and I reached out to him. And just to get that kind of support to recognize these kids on that level, you got to thank Sam Mitchell, Mark Upshaw, and then DJ Jones, who kind of makes this whole thing click. That's what I enjoy the most is seeing the reactions. And there's a lot of hard work that goes into this. So to see these kids on stage, they get some big trophies, by the way. Those trophies are like 2-3
feet huge.
Tall. So I wish I could get one.
Absolutely. One player that we're going to see for the next 4 years, Jabria Lindsey. I mean, she was setting records at Central. I cannot wait to see the Central Lady Red Devils next year. And I think that Jabria is going to have a great high school career and possibly going on to the next level and maybe even the WNBA.
Yeah, and then you've got the Hill kid over there as well on the boys' side for Central that is picking up some major SEC offers too. So Jabria Lindsey, Jacoby Hill, certainly players that we'll be watching. And that's what's exciting too is it does feel like this is only the start. Obviously for Jabria Lindsey, but some other student athletes as well. Maya Giles, you know, we lose her. She did a great job at Northside, but there'll always be talent in this area, and we hope it just continues to grow and grow.
Jonathan, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast, and we better go ahead and get in line to get the food. Everybody's beating us to the food.
Yeah, let's go get in line, and thank you, Richard. I'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. That was WTVM's sports director, Jonathan Hoppe. We'll be back with some more players and coaches and members of the media as well here on the Sports Beat. All right, we're back here on the Sports Beat. Of course, I could not do this event without interviewing WRBL's Jack Patterson, who's been on the show like, what, 10 times already?
Feels like it, man.
Oh, man. But this is the first time I'm at this event. And we were talking about how I could not be part of this event, you know, getting to meet Sam Mitchell and Mark Upshaw. And they put on such an incredible event, third annual Say Mark Basketball Awards Luncheon. And just the talent here in the Fountain City. I mean, we have covered these teams from start to finish. And, you know, Glenwood's being honored tonight. But, yeah, some teams, you know, Hardaway making the Final Four, Central making the championship. And you and Tyler for WRBL really have been all over the valley covering these teams.
Absolutely, Richard. And I think the best thing about this awards luncheon and what Sam and Mark and DJ and Dale and Thrift, what they do is it's an opportunity to put a positive spotlight on these kids. That's the most important thing that comes out of this, is that we're able to put a spotlight on these kids and highlight the positive things they're doing in the community. And you're right, we had a lot of great teams in our area this year. You know, we had the Glenwood boys bring it home. We had several teams play in the state championship, several teams in the Final Four, you know, Elite Eight. So this, you know, Thrift said it earlier today, and I will echo it. This may very well go down as the greatest basketball season in Columbus history.
And I'm just so glad that we got to be a part of it. I always enjoyed the work that you and Tyler do in WRBL, just getting the highlights. And we've had a lot of highlights this season.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of incredible players, and we're going to be honoring a lot of them today. And like I said, man, days like today are the fun part of the job, because you get to see a lot of smiles.
Well, I know we're about to eat, but the first part of this awards luncheon, Thrift Behringer recognized all the schools here in the Chattahoochee Valley and honored the players of the year for each school, for the boys and the girls.
Absolutely. And once again, this is an opportunity to highlight the things they did on the court, all the hard work and sacrifice, because, you know, it's not just, you know, starting in the fall whenever official practice starts. You know, this dates all the way back to the summer, conditioning and weightlifting and things like that. All the hard work that these athletes have put in to make it to this point, it's an opportunity to highlight what they've done and to, you know, showcase what they've been doing, and they get to take home some hardware for it too.
Thanks, Jack. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
I am on my way to Birmingham for the NCAA tournament, so we keep on moving in the Highlight Factory, Richard. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. Jack is grinding every day. And yeah, I just enjoy the work you do at WRBL.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, as always, for having me.
All right, that was WRBL Sports Director Jack Patterson. And we'll be back with some more interviews here at the St. Mark 3rd Annual Basketball Awards Luncheon here at the St. Luke's Ministry Center. I'm Richard Holdridge for the Sports Beat. You are listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, broadcasted on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key from 2 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. This is a local podcast that covers Columbus sports and beyond. If you would like to hear more of this podcast, you can download us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.